Well, you know, I just watched the video on Slutty Wednesday with these slutty girls dressing up in this slutty outfit. When I was a girl, I know, light years ago, we didn't show our midriffs. We didn't show wear sleeveless stuff. I dress more risque now, you know, going braless half the time and all without my teeth than I ever did in school. The worst thing we ever did was have knee tickers. You know, where your dresses came down and your socks came up. You know, your dresses came to here and your socks came to there. And we never thought about going around with our belly buttons hanging out with piercings on our lips and tattoos on her. She said, I mean, do you know one of my girlfriends got a tattoo? And she wanted to pay for me to get one. And she had a peach put on her breast. And when she took her bra off, that peach looked like a banana. And I said, wouldn't you hate to be going into a cemetery, I mean, into a funeral parlor, and them saying there and seeing you with an old tattoo, saying, boy, I bet this old gal was crazy. These girls don't think about what all that's going to do when they get a little age on them, when they become mothers and everything, when they die, laying in the casket with a bunch of tattoos and piercing. I'm telling you, it looks like hell. It looks like hell. And these girls that are protesting Slutty Sunday, I mean Wednesday, need to understand that it's nothing wrong with being ladylike. I know I don't look very ladylike, but I'm a grandmother, a meemaw. I'm shot. I've had my day in the sun, and now I'm ready for sunset, as long as it don't come tomorrow afternoon. You know what I mean? But anyway, they need to get off of the, they need to, and it's really not bad, because they just want them to wear shorts right down to here. I mean, what's wrong with that? I don't understand what the big problem is. Schools have a right to impose dress codes. And I think that people ought to quit complaining and griping, just go to school, do their work, and forget what the hell they have on. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
We are drunk on liberty. This is Ryan James, their name. I'm too loud from Liberty Lounge.
What up, drugs? We're back again. Here we are for episode, I don't know what number this is. Welcome.
I think it'd be 83.
Possibly. It might be 83. Go to drunkonliberty.com.
Whoops.
Drunk dial at 623-505-6375. Leave us that crazy drunken message.
You can also go to the website.
I just said
that. Oh, yeah.
You can email us, drunkonliberty@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on the Facebook.
Also, you can go over to the donate button and click it and donate some cash money to us.
If you like what we're doing, help us out.
If you like what you hear or see, do it.
Even if you hate us. Send us some money. Send us some hate money. We'll take it. I'll take hate money.
If you don't want to just give us some money, you can go to the Amazon banner and click the show that and buy some stuff off of Amazon.
You can also purchase koozies on the website, drunkonliberty.com. And you can send us donations of Bitcoin. We will accept them.
Oh, we will accept them. I was getting into that song.
Man. Hey, you're into this song.
No, not this one. Oh, yes, I remember.
When you are on drunkonliberty.com, you can click the shit out of that fleshlight banner, get yourself something fun, or Adam and Eve banner.
Indeed.
And get something fun there, too.
Or you can get something tasty.
Tasty.
And click on the Stateless Sweets. Tasty.
Sounds good.
They are delicious, especially with Easter coming. Some stuff in baskets.
I don't know about that.
What? Did the Easter Bunny ever come to your house?
Nope.
Really?
He doesn't exist.
No, when you were little, he never came to your house?
He doesn't exist. How could he come?
God. That's not nice.
So what's going on? You got the Oscars happened or something, right?
Yeah, they happened a while back, right?
Yeah, it was a little while back, but we never got to mentioning a few of the notables.
You're going out of order. That wasn't the right order I was going in, but just kidding. Settle down.
Yes, it is.
So, all right. Well, I didn't watch the Oscars because I really don't care that much, but I do like to know who won because usually it's not who I would think would win anyways, but... So Best Picture was Argo. Argo or Argo? How do you say
Argo.
It? Argo. I didn't really like that movie.
We saw that movie. It was all right. It just, whatever.
I think I actually fell asleep, Dorian.
You probably did.
Yep. Best Actor was Daniel Day-Lewis for
no
Lincoln.
Way.
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis is an awesome actor.
What else did he play in?
He hasn't been in a whole lot of movies because he's like one of those method actors where he like fucking... lives as whoever he's playing.
Oh, really?
You know, to get ready for the role. I could bring up his IMDb. Give me a minute.
Well, while you do that, I'll go to the actress. Best actress was Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook.
That was a good one.
She was also in The Hunger Games. I think that was the other bigger role she's been in.
I think The Hunger Games was a better movie.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't that bad of a movie. Silver Linings Playbook.
So what else does he have?
Okay. Daniel Day-Lewis. He was in Gangs of New York.
That's the biggest one.
There Will Be Blood. He was awesome in that. I remember that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think you did.
The Last of the Mohicans.
Mohicans.
Oh, The Last of the Mohicans.
No.
You always watch that in schools.
Mohican.
In school. Did you watch that in school? I think we did when I was like in high school or something. We watched that movie.
I don't know. I don't remember if I watched it in school. I know I saw it, but.
He is in a lot of stuff, but none that I've
but
seen.
But he, I mean, it usually goes a few years in between movies. That's what I'm saying.
Like the last like one he was in was in like 2009.
He takes time to get ready for his roles.
Hmm.
And he's one of those method actors.
That's weird.
So.
Well, he won for
Best
Actor.
I think he's won Best Actor before.
Really?
I believe he's won it in There Will Be Blood, I believe, or Gangs of New York or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
He's won it another time, maybe a couple
maybe
times.
Maybe supporting actor, though.
No.
Oh.
He doesn't tend to be the supporting actor.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
But supporting actor, wasn't it from Django Unchained?
Yeah, it was Christopher Waltz.
Yes. Christoph. Waltz.
Oh, Christoph. Yes. Sorry. And then supporting actress was Anne Hathaway from Les Mis, that musical.
Oh,
yeah.
I did
that you
not
would
see
not
that.
Like it.
Nope.
Director got Ang Lee from Life of Pi. And Quentin Tarantino did get original screenplay play for the Django Unchained. And then you know what the best animated feature film was?
What's that?
Brave. And I did
That's
not
stupid.
Like that movie.
Should have been Wreck-It Ralph.
Could have been.
It should have been.
I'm trying to think what else. There's a lot better. I feel like there's a lot more animated movies that were better than that one.
Wreck-It Ralph was my favorite of the year. Animated.
Yeah.
At least what I saw.
Yeah, Brave
that
I did not
That one was awesome.
Like.
Wreck-It Ralph was awesome.
Brave was weird. Mm. Oh, well. And then... I'm trying to think if there's anything else here that's good.
No,
not really.
The Beasts of Southern Wild win something? Or that chick won something?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, something. Or they just got nominated, I guess. I don't know.
They must have been just nominated because they didn't win anything. They might have been Best Picture or Supporting Actor or something. Actress. So, yeah. None of the other ones really were anything. You know, they had the sound editing, which you're like, what the hell is that? Film editing, all that kind of crap. Documentary was Innocent. And then documentary feature was Searching for Sugar Man. Those one.
We did not see those.
Mm-mm. So I mean, there's 20, I think there's what, 24 awards or something. And most of them got repeated. Like, Life of Pi got four other ones. Argo got more, so.
Argo.
Why do I always say the wrong things? So, oh well. How exciting. Yeah, not really. Rich people watching other rich
I'm
people
way
get
sad.
So. Anyways, that was my negativity for the day.
So there's this new app. Although I don't know how new it is. It's probably been around for a while, but I just heard of it recently. And it's called Uber, U-B-E-R. And you can get it on your iPhone or Android device. And it's apparently like a private sort of cab type service. Although it's not a cab or a taxi car, whatever. It's like a nice car, and the guy coming to pick you up will be all dressed up in a suit or whatever. And we actually saw someone that we think was using this the other day at
an event we went to.
Right, and someone was pulled up getting dropped off, and it was a really nice Denali that was dropping them off. So I believe someone was using Uber for that.
Because it didn't look like they had money where they'd have their own private driver. Personally, it didn't look like that to me, but...
No, it's just this new service, and it's here in Phoenix, and it's in some other big cities. I don't know everywhere that it's at, but I have their website up, and it says, our dispatch software provides licensed professional drivers the ability to receive and fulfill on-demand car service reservations as your private driver. So it's an alternative to the government monopoly of the taxi service, because those in order to drive a taxi, you have to like pay tons of money to the government to get all their permits and for all their regulations and all that bullshit nonsense. But this is a private alternative. So check it out. If you're in a major city, you might want to go with Uber.
Yeah, it looks nice. I like it. Looks like they'll have nice vehicles as well.
Oh, yeah.
So fun times there.
You can go to uber.com and learn about it.
Check it out. I guess, like you said, you can put it on your phone as well, which is good because if you're at a bar and you need a ride, you just have it on your phone.
Indeed, and apparently I read somewhere that they promise to pick you up within 2 minutes. I don't know how that can happen, but
yeah,
that's what it said. So
maybe they meant average.
I read it somewhere. That's what it said.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Interesting.
But they also said that they would never leave you hanging and not show up. Which we've had a few instances where the taxi cab service just decides, well, we're not coming, and they don't call you, and they don't let you know. You're just waiting around for nobody. And this Uber claims that they will never do that.
Cool.
And if they would do that, then people wouldn't use them. And so then their business model would fail, and their business would fail. They would not be able to make money. Like, that's what the free market is. That's how it should be.
Gotcha. What?
Business!
Oh, it's that time again? All right.
Still don't have an intro.
Well, that's all right. I have the most expensive drinks. Are you ready for this?
No.
Well, too bad then. I'm going to give it to you anyways.
I say no.
All right, the number 10 most expensive drink.
No.
Is, I'm going to mess these words up because I always do.
9.
Ville Bon Sincours Ale.
What is it?
It is a, you mean a Belgium beer?
Oh, it's a beer.
Yeah. And a 12-liter bottle costs £700.
How much is that?
I don't know. It has 8% alcohol. But £700 is a lot. I think, like, I would have to put, why don't you put that in and see what it means while I go through the rest of the list. But I believe it's, well, either way, it's more than $700. And that's for a 12 liter of beer. That's a lot of freaking money. All right, number 9 is the Winston cocktail. Once again, this is also in pounds, but we'll figure this out here in a second. Is
9
is 8,200 pounds. So it's even more expensive, obviously. And this is in New Zealand that you can purchase this drink. So 700 pounds in US dollars equals $1,045.38. So that's a lot for one beer. And then the one that I just said was 8,200 pounds. So that's going to be up in probably the $1 million range. No, not million, but $12,245, essentially.
A million.
Hey, whatever.
You're good at math.
I'm not. So anyways, that's a lot of money for a cocktail. So it's a little martini-looking glass thingy. And that's New Zealand.
8.
Okay, 8 is Legacy by Angostura, which is, in U.S. dollars, $25,000.
And what is this?
Wow. It is a doesn't say. It looks to me like it's a liquor.
A liqueur.
That's what it looks like to me. So I'm going to say that's what it is. Oh, wait. Never 7. Mind. I was kind of right. It's rum.
Okay.
Next one.
7.
7 is Chateau de Yumen, and it is 75,000 pounds.
I was thinking like more of these would be wines.
Mm-mm.
I would think.
One is a wine.
Okay.
This one is a white wine. So one of the, yep, you were correct, one of them is. And you can get this in France. That makes sense. Next one.
6. 6.
Okay, is Penfolds Ampola, which is 100,000 pounds.
What is this?
It is, let me see, I am sorry, it does not say right at the top of what it is. To me, I don't even know what it looks like, because it is a weird looking, it's wine. But it's in a weird wine bottle. It looks super cool. Kind of looks like a dagger. A glass dagger.
Mm.
Ooh, I like it. I wouldn't 5. Spend much money on it. Number 5 is Armand de Bregnan's Midas. And it is 125,000 pounds. And it is a bottle of champagne. And you can find it in the UK.
Awesome.
It's 4. A huge bottle of champagne. Number 4 is Dalmore 62, which is 125,000 pounds. And it is very rare, apparently.
What is it?
It is a whiskey.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. 12, 3. And I guess it's like they age it for like 62 years or something. No wonder it's expensive.
3.
Okay. Number 3 is Diva Vodka, which is $1 million in the U.S.
What?
And it is from Scotland, but in the U.S., I guess, when it sold it, as $1 million.
That's fucking stupid.
It's called Diva Vodka.
Stupid.
It kind of looks like it's in a perfume bottle. And number 2 is Henry IV de Goggin Heritage Conani Grand Champagne, which is $2 million in the U.S.
Wonderful.
It looks like it. I don't know what it looks like, but it's a cool bottle. It must have real golden diamonds on the bottle. It's $2 million.
1.
And the number 1 is Tequila Ley 925, which is $3,500,000 in the U.S. So
awesome.
I have $100 million bucks in the bank.
And it looks very similar to the last bottle. So I wonder if it's made, but it must be made by the same people. It looks just like the last one, like the vodka. So those are the most expensive drinks.
I've never heard of any of them.
No, I haven't either. No, probably because we never couldn't afford them.
No way.
All right. Next thing I have here has to do with more of what I'm familiar with is redneck stuff, which is the Red Solo Cup is getting classy.
Oh, jeez.
Apparently, because the classical versatile Red Solo Cup pretty much signifies party time, There's something unclassy about downing anything but crappy beer and jungle juice from it. But what if the red cup's design was converted to a wine glass or a martini glass or a chalice or a shot glass? Oh, so classy now. Red Cup Living is making a whole line of products that incorporate the ironic red Solo cup's design. There's a variety of options too. A 12-ounce cocktail cup, a 12-ounce coffee mug, a 14-ounce wine glass, a 15-ounce margarita cup, a 2-ounce shot glass, and even the 18-ounce iconic cup. All the products vary from $6 to $10.
So what were each of the cups?
There will be a 12-ounce cocktail cup. So that will be kind of like a martini glass looking thing.
Mm-hmm. And they're all still made out of the same
Solo cup. Only like those glasses have like the little tall bottoms to them.
Right.
Like a wine glass has. It looks like wine glasses. They are going to have a 12-ounce coffee mug, which isn't in this picture. So I don't know what that looks like. A 14-ounce, which they're like, I can't see warm drinks being good in those cups.
No.
So I don't know. Anyways, so then they're making also a 14-ounce wine glass, a 15-ounce margarita cup, and a 2-ounce shot glass. And then I don't know what the 18-ounce ionic cup is. I think it's just a bigger Solo cup.
It's a little weird, though, because they're mostly, those red Solo cups are more for, I associate them with more of like college
kegs.
Parties, you know, and kegs and such. So I don't know how well those are going to sell to people as different glasses, like margarita glasses, cups, or whatever.
Well, I can see margarita. I mean, because it's like if you're having
margarita,
a party.
Margarita, maybe. Okay.
And it's
at
cold.
The pool, at
yeah.
the pool and stuff or something.
Wine glass, I don't really know.
Yeah.
That's kind of silly.
Yeah.
But, and coffee cup, that's silly too, because
yeah.
how are they going to keep warm? I don't know. So, anyways. Red Solo is trying to get to make expansions to their product line. Oh, well, it'll probably work because a lot of people use them and they're cheap.
Just in case you didn't know, we had Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith running in the background there.
And in this video, they're using it for a college party. So yes. That's exactly what it's supposed to be for. All right, next story. 4 beers that are good for your skin. Are you ready? And we've actually had some of these.
4 beers good for your skin?
Yep.
Do you rub them on your skin or do you just drink them and it helps your skin?
I think either way. So now the one of them, they don't go in order. It's just one.
The
so
fuck you, beer.
One of them is Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
One.
This American style IPA is full and crispy with a heady dose of citrusy hops.
We have had that.
Oh, we have had that. Number 2, Stone Ruination IPA.
Ooh.
The IPA's name comes from extreme hoppy bitterness.
Does it explain why these beers each are good for your skin? You want to go back to the Sierra Nevada?
No, they don't.
Okay.
It just says there's nutrients packed in the yeast, I guess, that wipe out bacteria and slow production of like...
Wouldn't that be in every beer then?
I don't know. I guess I'm guessing these ones have the most that they've seen. I don't know. Good asking hard questions.
I'm just asking.
It doesn't say,
so let
me move on.
Explain why it's good for the skin. That's
number
all.
3 is Brooklyn East IPA.
I don't think I've had that.
No. With its bold blend of British malt and hops, a bottle or two of Brooklyn Brewery's Deep Golden Brew will help smooth skin while taking the edge off. Oh, okay. And then the 4th one is Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA. Delaware-based Dogfish Head added rosemary and tea tree oils to their delicious ales to make a bar of soap.
Great.
So I guess that one's good because it has the rosemary and tea tree oils in it. And you'll see a lot of tea tree stuff in like shampoos and like skin, like what's it called? Body wash.
So those... things are in the Dogfish Head?
I guess that's what they're saying. And I guess they said they made it into a bar of soap.
That's weird.
So that's a little weird, but... I guess red wine also, but this has already been, I guess, known, so that's something new, but helps to eliminate toxins in the body. So that's why it's also good in I guess, moderation. Or people always say, drink a glass of wine a day or something. So
true that.
Those are the 4 beers, though, that help your skin. How cool. All Alrighty, I also have a person who is going to be the drunk of the week because they are weird.
Drunk of the week.
Uh-huh. Are you ready?
Go.
Okay. Alright, so Jonathan Skull allegedly stuffs PBR cans in his pants and claims they are his penis.
Oh, shit.
And he wouldn't have gotten away with it, too. And he would have gotten away with it, too, if no, he wouldn't have.
Sure
did. Trying to be funny. Jonathan Skull, 26, allegedly tried to steal two cans of beer from a liquor store by shoving them in his pants, then told an employee that his cans were his penis. Wicked
this
local
is ridiculous.
Somerville reported. The Midville, Massachusetts man went into Woody's Liquor on the evening of February 26th.
Oh, wonderful. What? He went into Woody's Liquor and claimed that the PBR cans were his Woody.
Uh-huh. When the female employee, whose name has not been released, says she saw him drop the cans in his pants and walked out, she told police she followed him out of the store and asked him what the bulge around his ankle was. And he replied, "It's my genitals." According to the paper, the woman said she pointed out that the bulge around his ankle was clearly not his genitals, and he proceeded to chuck the can at her head and run away.
Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
So he definitely was
Show
the drunk of the
genitals.
Week.
Your genitalia.
No man has that down there. Mm-mm.
Has what?
Genitals.
No man has genitals?
No genitals down there.
What?
It went to his ankle, and she said, obviously, that's not your penis down at your ankle.
I thought it was in his...
Well, when he walked out, it slid down, and then she told him, that's not it there, and then he, guess he took it out and threw it at her.
Sure does.
So.
Wow. This dude's a winner.
He is. All right.
Good job, buddy. Drunk of the week. At least he was drinking PBR.
Yeah, that explains it all. Well, guess what? We're not going to be drinking that. We're going to be drinking something else.
We got some beer.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Hold on. I had to pull it out of its sleeve. It is Wild Range Wheat Beer. Wild Range is traditionally brewed using only the best hops and malt. No tricks.
It is by World Brews out of California. This is a wit beer. That's the style. It is 6.3% alcohol.
Ooh,
I have the Beer Advocate up here, and they have not given it a score.
Oh, really?
But a few people have posted their own ratings, and I would say the average is looking to be about a 2.8 out of 5 from the people.
So that doesn't look too good.
2.7. Out of five, actually.
Okay.
Out of five reviews.
So,
So, we will see.
We Can will see. I will pop it like it's hot.
Crack that shit. Not very well. You might want to save
that
cap.
Well, I like the cap. That's why.
It's a very good one. And now pour it into that glass. There it is.
Alrighty, here I go. I'm going to take some of it.
How's it going?
It's not bad. It has like a... You can really taste the... hop's not the word, but the carbonation. Tastes carbonated, doesn't it?
It does taste a little carbonated. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Does that have like an orange flavor to you?
I think that's the wheat.
Oh, okay.
Because wheat beers, to me anyways, tend to taste a little fruity. Because those fruity beers tend to be wheat beers, too. Like, you'll find peach. There's peach wheat beers.
Right.
There's other ones that they sort of have wheat with the fruit, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's all right. I'd probably give it around what these guys.
Yeah,
have
but
given it.
I mean, the highest would be a 3 that I'd give it. So
I'd probably give it a 3. It's not a fuck you beer, but
no, I could drink it, but I probably would not purchase it again. So, but hey, if you like wheat, then you probably will like this one. Then
no,
no, oh
no,
okay.
It doesn't taste like wheat.
Well, I am sorry. What? Feel
You have some news?
I do have some news. Are you ready for it?
Live from the Liberty Lounge! That's what she said! Featuring Sarah Renee.
Alrighty, so I got some news for us. First one is about Nevada. Nevada expects big money after online gambling legalization. So Nevada has been beaten their casino rivals from New Jersey to become the first U.S. state to legalize online gambling and open doors to potential national market of $4 billion to $10 billion per year. Why New Jersey's in the running is because Atlantic City.
Right.
If anyone didn't know that. I guess State Governor Brian Schindelwald put his signature on the document Thursday after lawmakers passed the bill through the Nevada Assembly and Senate as an emergency measure. So essentially, they're just trying to get money because they're not getting enough for their state.
There was no need to pass a bill to say that gambling online is legal. Like, that's, like, there's no reason for that. What's, you know, just allow people to do what they want to do. They're not harming anyone.
Well, they already allow people to gamble there in the first place because they have all the casinos. So like,
right, but then the federal government came in and made it completely illegal for everyone to gamble online. And so now they're, I don't know. I just don't see the necessity to pass a bill. There's no reason to do that. Just let people do it. That's all. There's no need to create more laws and more bills surrounding all these things. Like, because all laws are just these silly, arbitrary ideas that politicians have, and they're ideas that are surrounded by, like, violence and the monopoly of the state. Ways of control, that's all. To control the people. And really all you need to do is just let the people do what they want to do, so long as they don't harm anyone. It's really that simple. The monopoly does not like to do things that way.
No, unless you're going to get money out of it. So they're getting money out of this. All right, next one. You ready? What is the copyright alert system? Apparently, the copyright alert system was conceived all the way back in 2011 as a new way to deal with seemingly unstoppable online piracy. It finally goes into effect today, which would have been...
It was a while ago.
March. Oh, not March 10th. Sorry. That's today. Well, a couple days ago then. For March 10th.
I think it was a few days ago.
Okay. Either way, I don't know. Oh, February 25th. There you go. Sorry. It finally, and it will impact a huge portion of U.S. internet users. Sounds scary, but what is it exactly, and what does it mean for you? The copyright alert system is the latest in a long line of counter-piracy policing schemes. The internet is a huge problem for copyright holders. Their businesses are dying, and really, why would anyone bother to pay for stuff when it's so easy to get it free on BitTorrent? So far, the rights holders have tried everything from suing customers to trolling Google to stop piracy, and it has all failed.
Things that people could offer within their, whatever it is that's being torrented, people are just downloading for free, that they could offer more things in there, and people would pay for it because they want to pay to get whatever it may be.
Oh,
that is
adding
special
an incentive
content.
Okay, that they wouldn't have got
for
just the regular version. Got it. Yeah.
So I don't like what they said there. It was like, why would people buy something if they can just get it for free? Well, people still buy shit even if they can get it for free.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I downloaded via torrent a movie called Upside Down. I have yet to buy the Blu-ray because it's not out, but once the Blu-ray comes out, I will buy it.
Because you liked it so much.
Yes.
Yeah, like a preview because the trailers aren't good enough.
And I want the better quality video, other than because it's not as quality video when you download it via torrent, right there. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They don't. That doesn't make sense to me. What they wrote. It's like, yes, people will still pay for shit, even if they can get it for free when you provide a really good product, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. Well, if they get a shitty product, then how many times have you bought a DVD or movie before seeing it and it sucked? And
or
so now
CD.
You feel like crap because you, or a CD, you're right. Cause then you'll buy a whole CD, but there's only one good song on it. The song that they put out.
You hear the one song and you like it, so you buy the CD, and every other song sucks.
Exactly. That's happened to me many of times.
So now you wasted money, and now you're going to tell all your friends that the fucking CD sucks, and so nobody else is going to buy it.
Because they can just take your CD.
Provide a good product, and people will buy your good product.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you can get it for free doesn't mean you won't pay for the product if
exactly.
it's a well-done product. So,
so actually, it's just like stupid
with what they wrote there. I don't like that.
Well, all right, let me explain to you a little bit more. It says the under which the RIMAP, whatever, this is the new thing they're doing. As designed, the participating internet services providers are AT&T, Cablevision, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and Verizon. They don't directly monitor your online behavior under the copyright alert system. Instead,
ours is not on that list. I don't know if they just did not mention that in the list, or if our internet service provider is not doing this. I hope they're not doing this. That'd be great, but I don't know. I don't know why they weren't mentioned. Because they're one of the big ones, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, AT&T and Verizon are in there, and they're pretty big, too, so.
That's what I'm saying. Comcast.
Yeah, that's weird.
Comcast is huge.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So.
They're probably the biggest, actually.
Apparently, I'm just going to summarize the rest. Essentially, what they're going to do is they're going to give you warnings, and then eventually they're just going to start slowing your internet down so that you really can't download it. Where in the past they used to send you letters and stuff, I thought.
They're still going to send you letters. And after, I think, 4 or 5 times that they have to send you a letter, that's when they start slowing your internet speed down. Now, there's nothing in what they're doing that says that they're going to come after people, but, or, you know, like sue people for downloading copyrighted material, but they will slow your internet down, and that could suck ass. Like, slow it down to dial-up speeds.
So, like, it'd be impossible to, like, stream Netflix, even if you had Netflix.
Oh, yeah. And so what the best way to protect yourself if you're still going to download torrents and whatnot, and you have one of these internet service providers, one of these big ones, is to definitely get yourself a free version of PeerBlock and run that whenever you are downloading torrents. And then there's also something else that's called a VPN, and I don't know a whole lot about those, but I know that you should have one of those running as well. And you can Google that and figure out all about the VPNs, but just got to keep yourself protected from the violent state.
Indeed. Sorry, I was like swallowing.
Nodding.
I was swallowing.
It's good for pod.
All right, next one. A horrifying 100-foot sinkhole swallowed a Florida man in his bed. Surprise there.
Oh, jeez. In Florida.
Uh-huh, in Florida. Apparently, a Florida man awoke in a very real nightmare as the floor of his bedroom collapsed out from under him. The sinkhole that spawned beneath his home late Thursday simply enveloped the room and its sole occupant with no warning, leaving almost nothing behind.
Allegedly.
The man's brother elsewhere in the house rushed to the scene but found no sign of the man. Apparently,
great.
The fire rescue spokesman put it this way: when we got there, there was no bedroom left.
Why?
There was no furniture. All he saw was a piece of mattress sticking up. We put engineer equipment into the sinkhole and didn't see anything compatible with life. But she stopped short of saying the man is presumed dead. Sinkholes are common in Florida, especially its central regions, because the majority of the state is on a foundation of limestone. The natural acids and rain eat away at the foundation slowly over time, weakening it until the surface snaps without warning, devouring whatever lies above. There's not much anyone can do to prevent them besides just staying out of the way. But glad your morning has been going a little bit better. So apparently I don't think the guy made it.
Because he just disappeared.
Yeah.
Into the sinkhole.
Yes.
That is incredible.
That is not incredible. That's scary as shit.
It's pretty incredible.
It's freaking, that's just scary.
Great.
Ugh, all right, anyways.
End of story.
Man. All right, next one. Court rules there is no right to carry a concealed weapon. In a sweeping ruling, the 10th U.S.
Great.
Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that there is no Second Amendment right to carry a concealed firearm in public. The broad wording of the decision in Peterson versus Martinez creates a far-reaching national precedent against carrying a loaded handgun outside the home.
Precedent.
I said it right. The case began on a narrow point, a challenge by a Washington state man against Colorado's law to issue CHL permits, which is just the concealed handgun license, only to state residents. But the final ruling held in light of our nation's extensive practice of restricting citizens' freedom to carry firearm in a concealed manner. We hold that this activity does not fall within the scope of the Second Amendment's protections.
So was this the Supreme Court that said?
It sounds like it, because they were talking about other states.
So you don't,
it's the Supreme Court.
You don't have the constitutional right to carry, open carry a handgun. That's what it's saying?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy, because I thought every human being has the right to property. Their own property, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So a gun would be included in property. So if you have the right to own your own property and carry your own property, then this should make no difference of what the hell the Supreme Court says. Who gives a fuck what they say? You're a human being. You have the right to your property that you own and you bought, and you can carry it wherever the fuck you want. Now, if you're fucking shooting people, that's a totally different thing. But carrying your property wherever the hell you want to carry your property, that's within your rights as a human being. But apparently not.
No.
According to the Supreme Court.
It says, Colorado law allows people to have a firearm in their homes, places of business, and cars, but to carry a concealed weapon in public, a state resident must apply to a local sheriff to get a permit.
Oh, it's not even open carry. It's concealed carry.
Yep.
Jesus. This is retarded.
He said that apparently Peterson, who this is going to file, you know, he's filing a plan or whatever, claimed that the law left him completely disarmed, which is true because he's out in public. So apparently Gary Peterson was rejected for a concealed handgun license because he had no residence in Colorado. His lawsuit to overturn the state handgun law was thrown out and affirmed by the 10th Circuit, which said, we first asked whether the Second Amendment provides the right to carry a concealed firearm.
I don't
we
care.
We conclude that it does not.
I don't care what sort of piece of land you happen to be standing on, that doesn't change your rights as a human being to carry your own property that you own. You used your body, your labor to accumulate wealth in order to purchase said property with your money that you earned. Everything is yours. It's your property. You can carry it.
And why, apparently also Peterson argued that his right to travel was infringed by the ban on concealed carry permits for non-residents, which makes sense because if, like, you were a resident in New York, but, you know, you're traveling because it's the summertime and you travel with a gun to be safe. Now, if you get caught with that in Colorado and you're not a resident there, like, you're going to get in trouble.
It's stupid. Well, you can't.
Yet in New York, you can or something. You,
you
know?
Can't carry a gun in New York.
No, I'm just using it as like if you were in New York. I'm just saying as an example. If you were going from another state, and New York was the first state that popped in my head.
Yeah,
okay,
but that's what I was saying. I don't care what piece of land you're at. Your rights are your rights.
And that's what he's saying too. But ultimately, is what this Peterson guy is saying. But yeah. Anyways,
it's silly. Like all this gun control talk. It's all about hindering your right to your property. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. A gun is a piece of property that someone owns. That's it. It's a tool. And it's called property. And if you have a right to your property, then you have a right to carry your goddamn gun.
And if That's but it. And then people's going to make this argument though. Well, but a gun can hurt people. Well, so can a frickin' bat. Or a machete, or a pocket knife, or a chair.
Everything.
If you take a chair and hit someone over the head with it.
You can take your laptop and slam it over somebody's head.
So the point of, well, that can hurt, injure someone. Well, anything can injure someone. So I don't. So now we can't have computers it's because it could property. Injure someone.
That's what I'm saying. It's That's a stupid. Piece of property. And if you own it, then it's yours. And you should be able to carry it wherever the hell you want to. Fuck the government. Fuck the state. They're all a monopoly on trying to be a cunt. They are being a cunt. It's the cuntopoly.
Well, speaking of something else that has failed, a female kicker gets injured at the NFL combine after her kickoff goes just 13 yards.
Great.
Kicker, awesome. Lauren Sublerman, I don't know how I say your last name, had a rough day at the NFL regional combine in New Jersey, kicking just 2 kickoffs before pulling out with a leg injury.
Somebody pulled out of her.
She was the first woman to ever participate in a regional combine. The 28-year-old played soccer at Wisconsin and paid $275 to participate in the open tryout. She kicked kickoff at 19 yards and then 13 yards before a quad injury ended her day.
Did her boobs get
boobies are great. Women Maybe. With big tits are great.
Oh, well. Either way, she was reportedly going to attempt a 60-yard field goal but didn't get the chance.
She would not have hit it.
Well, who knows?
She kicked it 19 yards. That was the furthest one. Way
That's
to go.
That's true. Way to go. Way to go.
Way to step it up for the women.
And don't say it was nerves, because no offense, if you actually got to where you got to the point where you could freaking get into the NFL and make a team, you're going to be nervous even more. So if you can't handle this nervousness, then you wouldn't make it anyways.
This is ridiculous.
Skanks.
You know what else is ridiculous? IKEA's Ionic meatball drawn into horse meat scandal.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. IKEA store on the outskirts of Sweden's biggest city teemed with the usual swell of activity Monday evening as shoppers snapped up everything from AA-sized batteries to flat-packed bookcases and sofas. But one Ionic product was absent, the meatballs. The Swedish furniture giant was drawn into Europe's growing food safety scandal after food inspectors in the Czech Republic found traces of horse meat in a batch of IKEA's signature food item.
Really?
While the scandal has been raging in Europe for weeks, many of the tainted products were relatively obscure, not so for the IKEA meatball, an estimated 150 million of which are consumed around the world.
Maybe that's why the IKEA meatball tastes so goddamn good.
Maybe.
I wouldn't mind eating some horse meat. I want to try it. Maybe I already have. I've had those meatballs, and they were delicious. What's wrong with horse meat? What's all this craziness with these people freaking out about horse meat?
Because they see horses as pets, not as
what about deer?
Cows. Like, they don't see cows as a pet. They see it
deer.
As food.
What about deer?
They don't see that as a pet either. Who has a pet deer?
I'm just saying. I don't think horses are pets. I'll eat the fuck out of a horse. I don't care. It's probably tasty. It's probably delicious.
Polar bears would eat them.
I understand when you're saying maybe that it's cow or beef or whatever you want to say, and then it's actually horse meat. So now
lying.
We've went over this. Yeah, you're defrauding or you're committing fraud.
Yeah.
By saying that it's one thing and it's actually something else. But whatever. I'll eat some horse. I don't give a fuck. They have that kangaroo at Sprouts.
They're mean.
I want to get some kangaroo. I want to eat some of that. I haven't tried it yet.
Has a face.
I would like to eat that.
All right. But anyways, it goes on and on about it, but essentially that's the gist, is that they're just now going through.
Yeah, where's that get over it? That's what I would say. Romy, I don't know. I can't fucking read.
I don't know. I don't see it either. It's too early in the morning.
We are drinking early in the morning? Is that what you're saying?
It's over and done. It's too late now.
Get over it.
All right. The government can use your iPhone to figure out where you've been.
Of course they can.
Who didn't know that? Court documents obtained by the ACLU reveal just how vulnerable information about your private life is to prying government eyes that get a hold of your phone. It's more than just your text messages. It's even connection point your phone has been used.
Great.
Wow. The report details the huge amount of data that the Department of Homeland Security was able to pull off an iPhone seized during a raid. The report contained information you'd expect, like a complete call log, text message history, and contact list, including deleted items. But more than just information about who you've talked to, the DHS can use your iPhone to assemble a shockingly invasive report of places you've been. The ACLU notes that the record contains 659 geolocation points, including 227 cell towers and 403 Wi-Fi networks were extracted from the phone in question.
Awesome.
So essentially they know where you've been, which is BS. That's why you just don't get an iPhone. Don't get smartphones. Let's go back to the Zach Morris one.
What?
Yeah, let's just go back to Zach Morris.
No, no.
But just anyways.
Who cares? Don't be scared of them. They don't give a shit about what you're doing as long as you're not doing really crazy, shady shit.
Hmm.
For the most part.
Well,
I just don't want to take the time to be living in fear of the government. Fuck them.
Hmm. Fear. I don't know what I said. Oh, well. Anyways, that's the news. I'm sorry. And the 80s rocked.
You were barely alive for the 80s.
I was very much alive. So okay. let me go about it.
Go about it?
Let me go about my days.
All right, we got to take a break.
Why? Okay, I guess we do. I guess it's that time. So it's our song. You're the one who picked it, so.
We got a couple 80s songs for tonight.
Because the 80s rocked.
Here we go. It's Loverboy, Turn Me Loose.
Go to break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to WXY 93.7. That was Turn Me Loose by Loverboy.
You're weird.
This is where you find your classic rock hits.
You are one weird person.
Get your drink on. This is Drunk on Liberty. We're back. How was your break?
It was delicious.
Why? Did you eat some stateless sweets?
No, it was delicious. So, do we have any cool new shirts?
Cool new shirts! First up, we have a 3D printed cyborg muscle that produces an artificial heartbeat.
What?
There is a short little video. Let's see if this is any good for audio. Probably not. Nope. That's the sound of the heartbeat, though.
Oh, yet it's still going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You might expect a robot's heartbeat to be a metallic ticking, but the pulsing in this video isn't completely artificial. It's powered by living material, created by Peter Walters from the University of the West of England in Bristol, UK, and colleagues. The pump uses the gas released by live yeast to generate pressure and distend a membrane, turning it into an artificial muscle. That's that.
Well, that's amazing.
It's a little crazy.
Cool shit!
All right. Your next computer will live on your arm. Forget about robots rising up against humans for world domination. In the future, we're all going to be robot-human hybrids with the help of wearable computers. We've already seen Google Glass, the search giant's augmented reality glasses, and now the latest Y Combinator startup to come out of stealth. The Thalmic Labs is giving us a wrist cuff that will one day control computers, smartphones, gaming consoles, and remote control devices with simple hand gestures. It's kind of like the finger mouse that we recently discussed, only this goes over your wrist. Unlike,
and that was cool.
Unlike voice detecting Google Glass, the camera powered Kinect and Leap Motion controller, Thalmic Labs is going to the source of your hand and finger gestures, your forearm muscles as well. In looking at wearable computers, we realize there are problems with input for augmented reality devices. You can use voice, but no one wants to be sitting on the subway talking to themselves, and cameras can't follow wherever you go. I'd argue that thanks to Bluetooth headsets and Siri, we've already been talking to ourselves for the last decade, so talking to my glasses isn't a huge stretch. But I won't deny that it looks cool to casually flick my hand to change the song on my MacBook, which is what Thalmic Labs is promising with its $149 forearm gadget called the Myo. M-Y-O. Which has an adjustable band that can accommodate almost anyone. There is a video here as well. Let's see how this goes. And it's mostly visual. But he just puts... Very visual, but super cool. It's like reading what's going on inside of the
arm. Yeah, it's a little bit too visual.
Thank you. way too many visual things going on in there to really explain that.
We'll put it on Facebook.
We will put it on Facebook, but you will be hearing this podcast much later than we have posted that. So
it's okay.
Anyways, that's really pretty cool. Are you posting that?
I don't have the link. Oh, it's probably on the thing. All right, I'll go do it. Okay. Go.
I am moving on.
Cool news show.
So there's another dude that's trying to send people to Mars.
Ooh.
In 2018. Because we have talked about Mars One, that company. They're, I think, sending 4 to 6 people. Trying to send 4 to 6 people to Mars in 2018. This is a new dude, Dennis Tito. If he has his way, 2 people will leave our planet in January 2018 and make a trip to Mars and back with a quick flyby. So they're not actually landing on Mars. I think Mars One plans on landing on Mars. The project is being spearheaded by a nonprofit organization, the Inspiration Mars Foundation. Tito's mission will be facilitated by donors, not investors. Tito and a group of co-authors from NASA and several aerospace companies have put together a concept study. So he's working with NASA, so that's kind of shitty. Feasibility analysis for a manned Mars free return mission in 2018 to be presented to the 2013 IEEE Aerospace Conference on March 3rd. It will use an upgraded SpaceX Dragon capsule as the habitable volume for the entire mission. The spacecraft would be launched on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy and follows an optimized free return trajectory to Mars and back. The closest that the spacecraft would get to Mars would be a little less than 100 kilometers, and the crew would only spend 10 hours within that distance of the planet. So yeah, they're just kind of hovering over Mars, basically. They're not going and landing. I thought they were landing. Sources report that it is the intention of Inspiration Mars to have a crew comprised of one man and one woman. So they're sending 2 people to just sort of hover over Mars.
And it happens to be a man and a woman.
And then come back. Maybe they'll bang it out while they're hanging over Mars and then pop out of Mars, baby. Martian.
Well, no, it'd have to be on that.
They would have to land on Mars and have the baby on Mars, I would think. You wouldn't... Like, how would that go? So you land on Mars and you... Let's say you conceive while on Mars, but you come back and you have the baby on Earth. It's not a Martian then, would it?
Mm-mm.
You would have to actually have it on Mars?
Yeah.
That's lame.
Because they couldn't say it was conceived there.
Well, Mars One, we should get an update on Mars One, because I haven't heard too much from them recently. But I swore their plan was in 2018 as well, but they were going to land and have landers and start building, like, you know, things on Mars, to because other people would come back in like 2022 or something like that. I don't know. They had like a plan to send a bunch of people over, you know, a bunch of years in the early 2020s. I don't know.
All right, what's your next one?
Cool.
This one looks cool.
Bring the drive-through to your kitchen with this instant breakfast sandwich tower.
Looks delicious.
Now, this is from Gizmodo, so this dude probably wrote something trying to be funny. Let's see. Breakfast sandwiches are one of the best ways you can start the day, taste-wise at least, but they tend to be logistically difficult. Either you've got to take the time to carefully assemble one or pay some scruffy minimum wage employee to make one for you. Hamilton Beach's breakfast sandwich maker merges the best of both worlds. A cleverly stacked arsenal of cooking spaces, the breakfast sandwich maker makes multitasking a priority. The Tower of Chow cooks your egg in one compartment on the top, warms a slice of pre-cooked meat in the middle, and warms your cheese and other assorted fillings in a spot on the bottom, all between two English muffins for easy removal. And all this is in, or all this in 5 minutes or less. Hamilton Beach is releasing its breakfast baby into the wild later this month for the reasonable price of $30.
Looks neat.
And there's a picture of it there.
Looks delicious.
The English muffins go on the top and the bottom, I assume. And then you got your egg. And then down here you got the meat and whatever the hell. Cheese and whatnot.
That makes me hungry.
I love breakfast.
Coolness!
Human body enhancement. Technology is starting to give us superpowers once reserved for comic book heroes. Human enhancement is happening all the time, largely through incremental improvements on existing technologies. Wearable technology is taking off, which we just talked about. Muscle suits are starting to look more plausible. The military, is working on Spider-Man suits that let the wearer scale vertical walls.
What?
Okay. Devices that interact directly with the human brain can use things like your skin, conductance, facial expressions, and perhaps even brain waves to detect your emotions and intentions, albeit crudely. In the medical realm, cochlear implants. Is that a cock implant? What is that? Cochlear.
It's a burp.
Cochlear implants. No. Cochlear implants can restore some hearing to the deaf. So that would not be a penis implant. But it is called cochlear. Future neuro implants could allow humans to manipulate real world objects in their minds.
That seems cool, but scary at the same time if it's the military.
Yeah. The military listens to whatever the state says, and if the state says, fire upon the citizens or use your Spider-Man suits and go attack the citizens, they will do that because they listen to what they're told. By the
All right, what's our last one here? This one looks cool.
Coolest show!
This one is the new version of the Roku. It is the Roku 3. Super fast, spanking new interface and a wireless audio mode. The best little streaming black box just got a spanking new model, the Roku 3. The slightly updated design adds a few curves to the square black box design and also throws in an updated new user interface. A much faster processor, and even a private watching mode that uses wireless audio from the remote control. Yes, the remote control has a headphone jack.
Ooh.
Listen to that. The new grid-based interface looks to be a lot more useful with more easily accessible icons shown on one screen. Less scrolling, more watching. It's just as easy to use as Apple TV's icon-heavy interface, but there are large advertisements for certain shows, movies that quickly get annoying and waste prime space. However, Roku 3's new interface does make it easier to add channels. The channel store is integrated in the main menu, and its guts make it 5 times faster than the old Roku's. We have one of the old Roku's. The Roku 3 also has dual-band Wi-Fi.
Ooh.
What's kind of clever about the new Roku 3 is that it lets you watch shows in a private mode or wireless audio mode. You can plug in headphones into the enhanced remote's headphone jack, and Roku will mute the TV and push all the audio to the headphones. That way, if you're burning the midnight oil, blasting Game of Thrones in your living room, you can keep the rest of the house asleep by just putting your headphones in the remote control. But perhaps the best thing is that if you have an old Roku, the new Roku 3 interface will be rolling out to you as a software update. you can take advantage of a better interface without plopping down a single dollar. The Roku 3 will retail for $100. So we won't get the sound through the remote control, but we can get that updated interface, which looks a lot more cool.
Yeah, than, looks a little bit cleaner.
Our interface is a little messy. So
looks cool. I like it.
Look for that because it's probably on there now for download.
Oh, I bet it is.
So there you go, the Roku 3. If you have not gotten some sort of streaming device for your TV and you're still like paying for cable and whatnot, you should definitely take a look at this Roku. It's good shit. I like it.
All right, so we watched a lot of movies. Movies, didn't we?
Blockbusters!
Yeah, I almost fell out of my chair. The first movie we watched was called Smashed, and it's from 2012. And it gets a 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb.
The tomato meter, 84% from the critics, 74% from the audience.
It's about a married couple whose bond is built on a mutual love of alcohol and gets their relationship put to the test when the wife decides to get sober.
Indeed. I very much enjoyed this movie. It has... what's his name from Breaking Bad?
Jesse
from Breaking Bad is in it. And also from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Nick Offerman. Ron Swanson. Whatever.
So, it's a good one. I would probably go more with the audience of 74%.
I would go higher. I very much enjoyed this movie. I thought it was very well done. Basically... both Jesse and this other chick are both alcoholics and they're married and living together. And like Sarah said, the girl decides to get sober and then, you know, drama ensues between them because he is not getting sober and just all the things they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with all that.
All right, the next one we watch was Identity Thief, and it gets a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It is about a mid-mannered businessman, Sandy Patterson, travels from Denver to Miami to confront the deceitfully harmless-looking woman who has been living it up after stealing Sandy's identity.
This one is 23% from the critics, 63% from the audience. Jason Bateman. And what's that chick's name?
Melissa
McCarthy.
Yep, Melissa McCarthy. She's from also from Bridesmaids.
John Cho shows up as well.
It wasn't bad. I mean, for being one of those comedies that's a like a mainstream one, like it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I like Jason Bateman, and
yeah, she's funny.
I don't know. It was decent.
The next one we watched was All Superheroes Must Die. Okay. It gets a 3.6 out of 10. It says four superheroes find themselves abducted by their arch nemesis. Yeah, by their arch nemesis. And are forced to compete in a series of challenges in order to save an abandoned town full of kidnapped innocent civilians. And I don't really know any of the people in here except for... the villain is Dexter's dad. He's the only one that I know from
right.
Here.
This is a pretty much an indie film. There are no ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. What did you say IMDb?
3.6.
Really? Huh. I would give it much higher than that. I thought it was a decent movie for being an indie film, a hardcore indie. I mean, didn't know anybody except Dexter's dad. And it was a really cool idea. It's basically Dexter's dad is the main villain dude, and he has rounded up all the superheroes and done something to them, which has basically taken away all their powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trapped them in a certain area and has little things that they must do without their powers and to move on and whatnot. And I don't know. I thought it was a decent idea, and I thought it was pretty well done.
Being that type of a movie.
Right. I know they had a super low budget for sure. They didn't have like big crazy, you know, graphics of shit going on. But I don't know. Overall, I thought it was a decent movie. All Superheroes Must Die. From 2011, apparently. I thought it was newer than that.
Yeah, me too. All right, next one. Beast of the Southern Wild. And it gets a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Is that not come up? What the heck is that?
That comes up every damn time. I don't know why.
What did yours give it?
Tomato meter, 86% from the critics, 78% from the audience. This got nominated for a lot of shit.
Yeah. Faced with both her hot-tempered father's fading health and melting ice caps that flood her ramshackle bayou community, an unleashed ancient archer's six-year-old hush puppy. Her name is Hush Puppy. Must learn the ways of courage and love. I did not like this movie.
I did not either. I was not impressed.
Yeah, it was very not interesting.
I wasn't even planning on watching this movie, but then I had heard that it was nominated for all this shit. And apparently it won some other awards. And so I was like, well, might as well give it a shot. I'm a little pissed that we did, because it was a waste of time.
Yep.
I really did not like the movie at all.
I agree. Next movie we watched was called Playing for Keeps. And on IMDb, it gets a 5.4 out of 10.
Tomato meter, 4% from the critics and 42% from the audience. Yes, I said 4% from the critics.
A former sports star who's fallen on hard times starts coaching his son's soccer team as a way to get his life together. He attempts to become an adult, are met with challenges from the attractive soccer moms who pursue him at every turn.
Gerard Butler is the main dude. Jessica Biel is in it. Dennis Quaid is also in it.
There's a lot of people in this movie.
Uma Thurman and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I didn't really like it. I fell asleep.
I didn't like it.
I fell asleep, so that tells you how much I liked it.
It was really boring, and I think it was supposed to be a comedy. A drama comedy?
I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't really find anything all that funny about it.
I fell asleep, so that's all I'm going to say.
4% sounds good, tomato meter. Critics?
Next movie we watch is called The Helpers, and it gets a 4.4 out of 10 on IMDb. Oh, something happened there. Something happened there. What happened there on your screen?
This is what I'm telling you every time I type a new one in there.
It is about seven friends in a road trip to Las Vegas break down near a rest stop motel where they encounter a seemingly helpful group of people. Convinced to stay overnight, the friends wake up in their rooms to a gruesome and bloody terror.
I enjoy this film. The tomato meter, the critics have not reviewed it. The audience only gave it 22%. I thought it was much better than that. I enjoyed it.
4.4 is what IMDb gave.
It was definitely an indie film. Nobody is in it that anybody would know, I would think. I don't know. It was sort of a slasher film type of thing.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I thought it was pretty well done. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was good for the fact that it was not a...
Like nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was decent.
It was kind of scary. A little bit. You know, it was more of... You knew it was going to happen, but it was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it for it being scary. All right, the next one we watched was called The Singularity Is Near, and it gets a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb. It's about computer avatar saves the world from self-replicating microscopic robots. And this is a doc.
No.
What? This is not it?
No.
That's not it?
No.
Oh. Well, then I guess it's not on here.
That's not what it is. It's just a documentary about Ray Kurzweil's whole idea. It's basically his book. He has a book of
the
same.
Well, no, it says here, cast Raymond Kurzweil. It says cast Raymond Kurzweil.
Right, but it's not about any... like, it's not about some...
Well, I know, but I guess what they're saying is, like, what he's talking about is that. That eventually they could save the world if it is what the little robots that go in your body.
Read that again.
Computer avatar saves the world from self-replicating microscopic robots. But it says him in it.
Okay, but that does not happen.
All right, well then, you explain
it. At all. It's just a documentary film basically talking about the things that are in the book of the same name, The Singularity Is Near, by Ray Kurzweil. And it's basically talking about, you know, the singularity coming, which the singularity is basically human biology merging with technology and machines, basically, and sparking a whole new, a whole new life, basically. Like, you could live forever. You can bring back people who are already dead. You can download all their information from their brain and into a machine and software, and it's basically like they're alive, which was sort of the first episode of the second season of Black Mirror, that show. It's essentially the same sort of concept, if you have watched that show.
Which we'll talk about later.
Which this shit is coming. No, we already talked about that.
We did. I'm sorry.
That was on a previous episode.
Oh, I thought we watched the newest one. Sorry.
Black Mirror?
Yeah. Just let it go. My mistake. My bad. Next one is Rocket Man. And it's from 1997. And it gets a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb. Ooh, what does yours give it?
Tomato meter from the critics, 24%. Audience gives it 67%. This is one of those culty type of movies.
It's funny.
Has a cult following.
Fred Randall is geeky and
Harlan Williams.
Yep, is obnoxious spacecraft designer who gets the chance to make his dream come true and travel to Mars as a member of the first manned flight there. It's just a comedy. It's funny. There's a part with farts. It's funny.
Part with farts.
Okay. It's funny. You gotta admit that part. It's funny.
The whole movie's pretty funny. I enjoy Harlan Williams. He does have a new special out, too, that I'm still trying to find. I don't even know where the hell it's at. It's called Force of Nature, and I guess he, like, went out to the desert, in the middle of the desert, and did his comedy show live out in the desert, like, with no crowd or anything, just being filmed out there doing his comedy special. So he's a crazy dude.
He is a little weird.
He is hilarious. So
the next one's called Polar Bear Family and Me, and it does not come up on IMDb actually. So it's just a
document. It doesn't come up on IMDb.
It does not.
Are you sure?
I looked. But essentially what it is that it is a documentary with this guy. Who goes?
It's a three-part documentary. We've watched the first two parts.
And he goes to, where is it, Antarctica? Or the Arctic? The Arctic. And he's filming different polar bears, their family, and just talking about like their survival and the hardships they're going through and all that good stuff. So. That's not it.
No.
It's about baby makers.
I don't know.
I don't know. Either way. It is, well, there it is, I think. Maybe.
There it is, yeah. But it's not IMDb.
But anyways, it's good and informational. It's cute.
It's wildlife cameraman Gordon Buchanan follows a wild polar bear family over three seasons, something no one has done before.
Ooh.
Gordon and Arctic survival experts travel by boat to far-flung Svalbard, or Svalbard? I don't know. I can't read that. They manage to find a polar bear birth den and meet mother Lyra and her cubs, Mickey. Mickey and Luca.
Yep.
As they emerge from their den, little is known about the family life of polar bears because no one has been able to follow them this closely before. Gordon helps scientists fit Lyra with a tracking collar and takes on the mission of living with this remarkable bear family. To help him observe the polar bears, Gordon tests a bear-proof filming hide,
the
ice cube, and gets closer to polar bears than anyone has ever done before. And that's pretty intense when he gets into that ice cube and there's a polar bear like fucking all over him trying to
eat
the shit out of him. Scary as fuck.
So but that was good.
Check that out. It's pretty good. The Polar Bear Family and Me is what it's called.
And they're cute. The little polar bears are cute. The little babies. The babies. It's kind of sad a little bit too. All right. Well, that's all we watched.
I thought you were going to say, that's the news.
No.
I guess
so,
we're done. We're
go to the website. Check it out.
DrunkOnLiberty.com. You can drunk dial us 623-505-6375. Leave us that crazy drunken message.
You can also donate to us by clicking the donate button or going to the Amazon banner at the bottom of the webpage and go to Amazon buying shit.
You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And please head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio and rate and review us. We would much appreciate that. Also, click the shit out of that Fleshlight banner, Adam and Eve banner, and Stateless Sweets. And get yourself some Drunk on Liberty koozies. Why not?
All right, so what is our last song for this evening? Or morning? Shamorning.
What?
The shamorning.
I don't understand you.
It's okay. No one does. I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Do you know? Oh, I know what it is. It's Christopher Cross, Ride Like the Wind. Another 80s tune. Enjoy! Tune is a funny word.
Peace out, drunks!
Bye.
PBR, PBR and penises. What's going on with that? A guy puts PBR in his pants and says it's his penis. How ridiculous. That is just ridiculous.